Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we consider what God expects of his covenant people. Let's pray. Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hungry for this heavenly food, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life, through Jesus Christ, who is the bread of heaven. Amen. Our reading for today is from Joshua chapter 24, and I'm reading from the first three verses and then from verse 14 to 25, and I'm reading from the NIV. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants." Then from verse 14, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord, to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt, from the land of slavery, and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord, because he is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you, and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." On that day Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem he drew up for them decrees and laws. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. God claims us for himself completely and claims our all. In other words, he takes us as we are, warts and all, and at the same time claims our all. In this passage, which is another yet final plea and call made by Joshua to God's covenant people for them to commit themselves to serve God and God alone, we get a glimpse of the way God seeks our all as well. Joshua begins by reminding them of all that the Lord had done for his people in graciously reaching out into a land far north and revealing himself to Abraham, who hailed from a family who worshipped other gods. They were pagans. Then from them, fashioning or shaping what would become his people called Hebrews, who are the people of Israel. Joshua reminded them how God had rescued them from the Egyptians and brought them to this point through thick and thin. And now, because he knew that his time as their leader was coming to an end, Joshua exhorts them, in light of God's covenant provision, to realize his intention to make for himself a people who would be a witness to the nations of Jehovah's greatness and goodness. After telling them all about God's great faithfulness, he says this, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." It becomes staggeringly clear that throughout the journey, the people of God were still entertaining gods that had worked their way into their lives over the years of their slavery, while some were possibly picked up along the way. Which means that many of God's covenant people still gave them room in their homes and therefore in their hearts. At some level, they were not completely given over to Jehovah, who had until then shown himself completely faithful to them. And so they are challenged again to reorganize their priorities. If Yahweh or Jehovah was not worth serving, after all they had witnessed of his protection and provision, then they should rather go to their idols, throw themselves wholeheartedly into serving them. For the God who had brought them this far claimed them jealously for himself, and would not share their affections and loyalties with any other. This has not changed to this day. It is interesting that Joshua frames his call on Israel in this way in verse 15. "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." Here then is an important thing regarding God's sovereign election of his people into covenant relationship with him. Their call into covenant and salvation is entirely a work of God, but living as God's people in that relationship is the sole responsibility and choice of each person. This too has not changed to this day, for our calling and election is entirely a work of God. How we live in that calling once we have come to Christ is a result of the choices we make, how we choose to serve the Lord daily. And so Joshua ends with those famous words of commitment from himself and his household, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." When we consider the call to be loyal to the Lord, we find the expectation well illustrated in one commentary where they say that historically, ancient vassal states who served the stronger conquering countries did so by entering into a treaty or agreement. Such treaties essentially required exclusive loyalty to the conquering king. And in one such Hittite treaty, a command was found saying, "Do not turn your eyes to anyone else." So also here in our text, where Joshua said, "Now fear the Lord," he was saying the same thing, "Do not turn your eyes to anyone else but to the Lord." It entailed waving a white flag of surrender before the Lord's law, of submitting oneself to his commandments. For one cannot fear God and at the same time serve other gods. These idols must be thrown away. Israel's jealous God tolerates no rival. Neither does Jesus. We see this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, where Jesus said, "No one can be a slave of two masters. He will hate one and love the other. He will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." The same expectation of loyalty is also expressed by Jesus in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, where he said, "Those who come to me cannot be my disciples unless they love me more than they love father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and themselves as well." The problem is that people become offended at these texts because they have been told a gospel that is watered down by a cheap version of grace. A gospel that is devoid of covenant loyalty to the Father through the Son is unhelpful and dishonoring of God's claim to our all. You see, if Israel's journey is a picture of our journey of faith from Egypt to the Promised Land, then you and I must take stock along that journey as often as God calls us to, and consider whether any idols have been accumulated along the way. What things have crept in and diminished our devotion to the living God? For example, as we live for God in our society, with the comforts we have, there is a certain self-sufficiency in our lives that could easily tempt us to independence and a less fervent or less devout reliance on God. knowing that God, who is ever faithful to us, claims us for himself and will not share us with anything else or any other. Getting back to our text, we encounter a rather strange thing. With one voice, the people of Israel reply by acknowledging the hand of God on their lives, in the end saying, "Yes, we will serve the Lord," at which Joshua responds, saying, "No, you can't." See verse 19, where Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you," meaning even though he has been good to you before. In case they were missing the point, they are reminded by this who it is that claims them for himself and who demands their all, lest they say words with their mouth and their hearts are far from God. The only way they would know forgiveness of sins would be to faithfully serve God as described in the Old Covenant law. Joshua reminds the people of two vital characteristics of their God, who is also our God. First, Jehovah is a holy God. He is not at all like human beings and will not be mocked. He is infinitely greater than anything our puny human minds can imagine him to be. He will not be set alongside little pagan idols made of wood, stone, or any other material that can be packed away in a travel bag and taken out when convenient. Secondly, Jehovah is a jealous God, who may seem to tolerate the divided attention that he gets from his people, but in the long view of things will not abide ongoing or persistently careless worship by his people. And while this is the case, it is abundantly clear that God's grace, goodness, and long-suffering has prevailed in the face of disloyalty and sin, so much so that there is no doubt that God loves and cares for his wayward covenant people. But as we draw to a close, at some point, the children of Israel would have to leave the empty representations of gods who will never be like Jehovah in their lives. For persistent sin that is ultimately rooted in such divided attention, in the face of God's abundant grace, will eventually result in God taking remedial action. Under the Old Covenant, this might mean servitude to a neighboring nation until repentance. Under the New Covenant, sometimes present sinful recklessness may actually end in tears in the here and now. But for the most part, the actions of God's people will be weighed at the end of all things. In any case, upon hearing of Joshua's sobering words in verses 19 to 20, the Israelites assure him of their commitment to Jehovah, saying, "No, we will serve the Lord." At which Joshua then reminds them that they will be held accountable for the words they had uttered that day, and they are happy for the record to reflect their words. They are then called to throw away the idols in their lives, idols that divided their trust and therefore their devotion to God, idols that flew in the face of what it meant to be wholly committed to Jehovah. For us, in light of this account, we are all called to reflect on an ongoing basis on our lives in these terms, to come to God openly and honestly. So what divides our devotion to God? What leads us to depend less on God and more on the things of this world, to seek the approval of others sometimes instead of the approval of God? As we live by faith in this new covenant relationship with God through Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit in absolute grace, God still is a holy and jealous God who lovingly claims our all. How wonderful is this, because there is nothing to lose and everything to gain. Amen. Let's pray. O God, you know us better than we know ourselves. As for us, we would serve the Lord. We will put off waiting and instead walk now in the courage you give us to serve you wholeheartedly. Come again to our cold hearts, we pray. Come to our weary bodies and our sometimes disorganized minds to fill us with your Spirit and renew us with your life, that our service will be true, our love real, and our all yours alone. for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.